It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At DSW, we ask the important questions, like, what shoes are you going to wear? Whether you're prepping for wedding season, festival season, or just planning the ultimate vacay, the right shoes can make or break an RSVP. So own the moment. You've got big plans, and we've got just the shoes. At the perfect price, of course. Get ready to get ready with Designer Shoe Warehouse. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today and let us surprise you.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
You mentioned Tennessee, Alabama. Has a head coach ever been fired at halftime?
No. They have been fired as soon as the plane landed there on the tarmac, and they weren't allowed to get on the team bus and go back to the facility. And that was my I was going to say Monty Kiffin. No, they wouldn't fire Monty Kiffin, my old coach, one of the best ever to coach defense. But Lane Kiffin, when he was at USC.
I remember that,
yeah. They didn't even allow him to get on the team. But what? What do you mean? Can I just go take me back to my car, man? How you going to fire me on the tarmac?
I feel like a guy's been fired on the plane, too. I feel like that's happened. Like actually on the plane. Or on the bus. I feel like that has happened before. But
I don't recall. But at halftime, no. Do you think that this could be a first?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we're talking like 40 points or more at halftime, I think there's a possibility.
I think you wait till they get back, man. You wait till they take that
I'm not
plane
serious.
Ride. I know, but you wait till they get back to the campus.
Oh, my goodness.
And you meet them right there at the facility as soon as the team bus pulls up and say, this key will not work tomorrow. So
yeah.
You keep it, but it won't work tomorrow. I just want you to know.
Instead of it turning green when you put it up to our little machine, it will be red and remain red.
So well, I doubt that the AD John Curry there at Tennessee would fire a man at halftime. Right? He wouldn't fire him on the tarmac. He wait till he gets back to the facility.
Well, you think it'll happen after this game?
Well, I'm sensing that because I think it can get ugly. You look at Tennessee, and I am surprised 5 years into this thing that they don't have depth. They've recruited well, but yet you don't have a quarterback that you really, really trust. And now you're going to send this young man, Garantano, and Darmody, for that matter, who started at the beginning of the season, into the Lions' den versus Alabama. You want to see a defense, even with all the new names and faces, create turbulence. It's this Alabama's defense. And you look at Alabama right now, the only team in the nation, top 15, rush O, rush D, scoring O, scoring D, total offense, and total defense. Only team in the nation in those categories. And so it could get ugly. They ran out of gas last week versus South Carolina, and they haven't scored in 10 quarters. Haven't scored, I think, since the UMass game. And this is a football team in the red zone four times last week, three field goals. The defense came out and played well early versus South Carolina. First six series, South Carolina was 0-for-6 on third down. After that, they pretty much converted all of those, at least five straight at one point in the second half. So the defense just ran out of gas. They have some good players over there. Yes, they've dealt with injuries, but a lot of teams deal with injuries. But I go back to my initial point. 5 years into this, that's a luxury in today's game, whether you're talking the college game or the NFL. You're going to give me 5 years? Charlie Strong would have loved 5 years at the University of Tennessee. He got 2.5, basically. Right. 5 years, and this program is still stuck in the mud? That is not good, and
right.
It doesn't bode well.
One of those that it's justified. It'll be a justified firing. Now, I'm not the biggest fan of doing it in the middle of the season. There's a lot of things that could happen. Now, if he totally loses the locker room, the team hates him, and he's got a rift with the AD, and it's just one of those things where you just got to get the poison out,
right.
Then fine. go ahead and fire him. But I don't know if that's the situation here. It's going to be tough for him to show up to work when he knows that he's going to be fired at the end of the year. And I also don't love the interim coach thing, because I think sometimes when the interim coach does really well, then you have a tough decision to make. Do you keep him on? And sometimes keeping him on is the worst thing you could possibly do. But
Clayton Helton, out at USC.
Yeah.
And Ed Orgeron went through that, didn't get the gig. Goes through it again at LSU, gets the gig. Larry Scott, who's the OC at Tennessee, was the interim coach when they fired Al Golden there at Miami. Team played pretty well. He didn't get the gig. He goes to Tennessee, of course. And now he's the OC, and he's on the hot seat as well, because everyone's up in arms about his play calling.
Now, I remember at West Virginia it happened when Rich Rod left, and then Bill Stewart took over, and he was like the nicest guy in the world, and they gave him the job, and it set him back a couple of years. So, I mean,
They won that, and this is where I caught a bunch of heat, which was...
they won the bowl game.
Unfounded. Yeah, they knocked off Oklahoma.
Right.
Yeah. And no one thought they would, because they had just lost to Pittsburgh, the backyard brawl. You lose your head coach.
13-9 game, yeah.
Lose your head coach in Rich Rod. He goes to Michigan. And you got Oklahoma, who's rolling at that point, wins another Big 12 title, and then West Virginia knocks them off in the bowl game a month later.
Tennessee has a corner that's now hurt, a freshman named Cheyenne LaBruzza.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
What about Nigel Warrior?
but Cheyenne LaBruzza is an Italian woman's name.
That's, be careful.
It is, though.
You have a horse head in your bed.
here's my friend. We go and get our nails done every Monday. It's me and Cheyenne LaBruzza. This guy is a freshman corner named Cheyenne LaBruzza? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, he and Garantano, they're tight.
Is that not nuts to you?
Yes.
I mean, an Italian woman named Andre Jones. Totally bizarre. Anyway,
yes, very.
Okay. So we will see what happens with this. By the way, I saw this. The Knoxville News Sentinel wrote this article where the headline says Tennessee versus Alabama on CBS. What does that say about the SEC? And I understand their point about, all right, you don't have a lot of great teams past Alabama that you want to feature other than Georgia right now in the East. I understand that point. But this is what people need to understand. You put Alabama on TV. What was your line the other day off the air? They could be playing Frosty the Snowman. Is that what you said? Off the air, we're talking about this. Right. Alabama could be playing Frosty the Snowman, and they're going to get a huge rating. Yep. So, I mean, if you want to have a discussion about the other teams in the SEC, fine, have that discussion. But in this, like, I'm not always defending they're towing the company line. You know that.
Right.
But don't bring CBS into the conversation and say, and use that as a entry point to your discussion, because whenever they could put Alabama on, they're putting Alabama on.
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's right. They don't even know who they're playing.
Right.
I mean, they could be taken on an ant farm, and they're going to watch. That's how much love they have for the program. And you can say that about a lot of fan bases. That's always a good draw. And this is a rivalry game. It hasn't lived up to the hype, you know, here recently. There were a couple years ago when Tennessee went into Tuscaloosa and played pretty well. Derek Barnett really made a name for himself in that ball game. But, you know, having lost to your rivals for over a decade, and I don't think they put up they'll play well early, but they won't last. They don't have the depth to play four quarters with Alabama football team. So you got to get them on. And I think this is above my pay grade, but I think our agreement with SEC, every team has to be on at some point.
Yeah.
And I guess this is our third installment for Tennessee, probably third and last, because we had them versus Florida, and that was an excellent game. And then the Georgia debacle, and now we have them versus Bama.
Yeah, that's enough of this, right? Enough of Tennessee. At this point, whoever is the next head coach there is going to be an interesting thing. It's not a discussion for today, but that is going to be a very, very interesting choice.
And well, I've heard from some former players, and this was after the Georgia beatdown, and they were saying that they wanted T. Martin, who's one of their own, won a national title there as quarterback. the first BCS title for Coach Fulmer. And so they want him, who's now the current OC at USC. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what type of promotion is ongoing for him, and see if he can be in the possible running for that job. And the name that always inevitably comes up is Gruden, John Gruden. It always comes up. I don't think John Gruden's leaving the booth. He's having a damn good time. He's got freedom. He's still making a ton of money.
And maybe for an NFL job at some point.
Well, his name always surfaces for an NFL job as well.
But, I mean, the guy loves football so much. I remember seeing, what was it, the Hard Knocks, when he was doing a preseason game. And he was, or he wasn't doing a preseason game. He was getting honored in the Ring of Honor there. And he went into one of the team meetings. He was talking to Jameis and Dirk Cutter, and he was just all passionate, and he left the room, and Dirk Cutter goes, "You think he misses ball?" And he's mm-hmm. around it. He's definitely around yeah. it. But, I mean, he's to go back and then be a college football head coach at that point, the grind, man. Like, that's why you see some of these young guys getting these jobs, I think, is before you're established as a great college football head coach, the work you have to put in, I think, is more than any other head coach in all of sports, pro or collegiate. It's just insane the amount of players you have to be take care of, the amount of recruiting you mm-hmm. have to do, the academic side of it. I mean, it's just the turnover. It's insane. So if you're going to pull a guy, a retired guy, for like a decade out of a booth and put him into a college football head coaching job, it's not generally going to work.
No.
But anyway.
Yeah, there's a ton of work as a pro coach, and we've heard the stories about Gruden and other coaches sleeping at the facility and all the time they put in.
And there's still more in college.
And there's still more in college.
It's amazing.
I would agree.
All right, so let's talk about USC Notre Dame. Now, mm-hmm. this is one of those, like, throw out the data things for me when...
What are those stats like, Gio?
Well, they're like the woman in the thong who's gets up early and she shows you a little bit, but it's...
What?
Then it makes breakfast. And we all know that. Right? I mean, you say it all the time.
You are crazy.
But... this is how I feel about this.
All right.
This is like Notre Dame after that Brian Kelly reporter mm-hmm. thing, after the 1-point loss to Georgia.
Get to the question.
Right.
Well, is there a question in there?
Right. So after all that happened,
it was
right?
one score, not one possession.
Yeah. 1 point.
Yeah.
So after that, Notre Dame, a little quiet. A little mm-hmm. quiet, right?
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
Beating the team here, yeah. beating the team there, a little quiet. Georgia's quietly getting better and better and better every week. And then all of a sudden, this week, it's they're playing USC.
Mm.
And look at the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And look at what happened last week in college mm-hmm. football. And oh my goodness, if Notre Dame runs the table, they're going to the college football playoff. My goodness. And you know what's going to happen this week? They're going to lose by a million. Doesn't it always work out that way?
Yeah.
Now that's just from the 40,000 feet up in the air, as they say. I do think they're a decent team, but it just feels like one of those sports stories that the second you're back on our radar,
right.
that's when you disappoint.
Yeah, that's it. And you look at the rest of the schedule, and we're not looking past USC, but Miami, North Carolina State, USC, I'm sorry, Navy. So they got quality opponents, and these quality opponents are damn good and ranked teams. So I don't think Navy may have fallen out of the rankings after their loss at Memphis, but the problem for Notre Dame, because they can run the hell out of the ball. They didn't run versus Georgia well. They had 55 yards rushing in that game. But everyone else, they've just steamrolled with the running game. The problem is their passing game. You can't be a one-trick pony going into these big matchups unless you are running that option like a Navy or an Air Force or an Army, and then you could possibly get by. But I think they're going to have to hit some plays downfield. Now, Wimbush is back. He had the lower extremity injury, didn't play in their last ball game versus UNC. Now, he did hit 70% of his passes versus Michigan State. I thought that was a damn good win on the road at Michigan State, and they had some quick hitters for him, and they still ran the ball well in that ball game. But They have to find some passing game. They're going up against a secondary that's damn good at USC. Man, they are brilliant back there. And I love Cameron Smith at the linebacker position. They're banged up there at linebacker as well. They're banged up on the front four. They lost. They may be without Josh Fatu. He was in a car accident earlier this week and is in the concussion protocol. They may have a couple freshmen playing, Jay Tufele and Brandon Peely. Those guys may have to step in. They're getting first-team reps right now. There's some attrition on the offensive line as well. But that being said, Darnold played a game last week where he didn't throw an interception, the first on the season. And he is going to definitely go after this secondary of Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame can eke out a win, but this is going to be a huge test for their defense, that their secondary, Notre Dame's secondary. And of course, you got to deal with the running game now, Ronald Jones the second. And Niles Morgan at linebacker is playing extremely well, but those big boys at front up front going to have to get some pressure on Sam Darnold. Deontay Burnett at wide receiver, he's been exciting this year. He's a little banged up, but I agree with you that Notre Dame up to this point has been under the radar after that loss to Georgia, but now everyone's going to take notice because this is the meaty part of their schedule.
What's the difference between junior and the second?
Nothing.
So some people are just the second, and some people
are
juniors?
Yeah, usually you don't even go with the second. You go with the third, don't you? If you're the third installment, you there's nothing.
Right.
You have to go with the third.
That's so you have a choice if you want to be the second or junior.
Of course, yes.
You have a choice.
Have a choice.
So
what would you rather have? Greg Giannotti the second?
Probably the second.
Not Greg Giannotti Jr.?
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Junior sounds a little bit condescending. Like you're always going to be junior. Hey, junior, stop picking your nose. You know, stuff like that.
RJ Jr.?
Yeah, the second. Like Art Rooney, the second, is the owner of the Steelers right now.
He's the second?
He's the second.
Second. Huh. That's interesting.
You know, there might actually be an Art Rooney Jr. too. I'm going to have to look into that. There might be a junior and the second.
What? But those are one and the same.
A quick Google search says they're different.
How are they different?
Junior is when you're under your father. The second is used when the elder family member is anyone other than the father.
Ah, okay. There is a distinction. Thank you, Mikey B.
You're welcome, Brian Jones.
He's so corny. okay.
All right, there you go. So
I
got my answer.
Second, so it could have been his grandfather. He named after grandpops.
Right.
That's why he's the second. Skip a generation. Gotcha.
Makes sense because Art was the chief, Art Rooney.
Yeah, right.
And then you had another generation, Dan.
Yep.
And then Dan's son was Art.
Cool.
Art the second. Bingo.
There you go.
Coming up next, an Andrew Bogus update and Greg Cosell. If he was named after his father, it would have been Howard Cosell Jr.
Right.
But first, Brian.
That was painful, wasn't it? Here's the deal. Relief Factor is not just for former or present athletes. Not at all. It's for anyone struggling with pain. Yes, athletes, but also, yes, for anyone with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, foot pain, hand pain, or general muscle aches and pain. You can be 30 or you can be 95. If you're in pain, I suggest you give Relief Factor a try. I can't guarantee it will work, but here's a tip. Almost 80% of people who ordered a 3-week quick start for only $19.95, they go on to order it again. Did you hear that? They order it again because it worked. That's under a dollar a day to see if it can work for you like it did and does for me. And it's 100% drug-free. That's what I love about it. 100% drug-free. Honestly, if lowering or eliminating your pain for $19.95 sounds like too much money, then you must not be in too much pain. Order the 3-week quick start for $19.95 at ReliefFactor.com. I'm pleased to announce that for all of October, the owners of Relief Factor, they're donating $5 of each $19.95 3-week quick start to children in need. Go to ReliefFactor.com to order now. That's ReliefFactor.com.
This is Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Guys, Dodgers left fielder Kike Hernandez homered on the first two pitches he saw in Game 5 of the NLCS last night. A solo shot in the second, this in the third.
And a high fly ball to right center field. That one is well hit. That one's on its way and gone. A grand slam home run for Kike Hernandez, taking a page out of the James Loney songbook. Oh, doctor!
Whatever that means, not Vin
Songbook?
Scully on Dodgers radio. What did James only hit a grand slam in an NLCS game?
Maybe.
For the Dodgers?
I don't know. But wouldn't it be playbook, not songbook?
I don't mind that part. I just have, like, he said it as if he was a Kirk Gibson moment. Like, do people remember James Loney home runs?
No, I don't know.
I mean, maybe Dodger fans do.
We should have been hearing this instead.
He's smuggling golf balls, I think, in his mouth. Great.
See what I mean?
Yeah.
We wouldn't be having this discussion if we had Vin in there.
Yeah, it reminds me of Brian smuggling a 9-iron in his pants this morning. I got a glimpse of this morning. I mean, dude.
Hey, you know what? He's right. It's bad.
Underpants. If, are
now
a
that
real
he's
thing.
Just now that he's opened up Pandora's box here. I mean, this
Pandora's
is
pants.
This has been
this is driver.
Yeah, I mean, this has been a talking point amongst us today. It's very. It is the outline is prominent this morning. It is. I mean,
smuggling fruit.
I mean. It's like a pepper you eat at a Yankee game.
See, here's the problem. You say that you don't wear underwear. You say this. You know this is your... I'm not making this up. It's not like you,
right?
you self-proclaimed, yes. I don't wear underwear. Yeah. Then you wear these loose sweatpants. You've got a hanger, and then...
you don't get up gently.
Right, so and then you're moving around a lot. I mean, it's like... It's like an elephant that's like, you know, looking for stuff on the ground, you know, with its trunk, you know, that's what it's like.
And I was a nice guy. I came in all innocent telling you to go down the hall because the makeup woman was waiting for you.
Yeah.
And you get up and I thought I was going to get you on the chin on this way.
Stop.
Right. Yeah. No, you stop. You
gotta
get some
seated.
Compression shorts or something, man. This is ridiculous.
My bad.
And then when he tells me bogus, then of course when you walk back in from the makeup thing, I gotta look and I'm having a full conversation with it. You know?
Gosh. So where were we? Oh, yes, Kike Hernandez. 3 homers and 7 RBI in Game 5 of the NLCS last night. The Dodgers getting an 11-1 win to take the series 4-1. They're in the World Series for the first time.
Can you
since
pick up peanuts? No, you see elephant. Is that an elephant, too? Can you, like, pick up the remote at home?
No.
I dropped my pen.
While you're watching the game, the remote pulls on the
No, you can
up.
You can use it as a coaster, though.
Oh, what it is to be you.
Game 6 of the ALCS.
You probably
tonight.
Got more than all of us combined.
No, shut up.
If we put them all together.
Let's take a poll.
That was not me on that wall.
No, it wasn't. It was too small. We could see other things in the picture.
Oh, my goodness. My bad. Okay? I walk with my hands in my pocket. You know.
No, just wear underwear.
I don't want that's underwear. Why
you that changed that. Don't
scoot your chair back up.
Under the desk.
No.
My buddy has a company, Parathese. He tried to send me some of their new products, some of their underwear. Like, I don't wear them. Cut out the middleman.
All right. Thursday Night Football last night, the Raiders got by the Chiefs 31-30, scoring with no time on the clock. Derek Carr and Michael Crabtree from 2 yards out, then a Giorgio Tavecchio PAT for that 31-30 final. In the NBA last night, Lonzo Ball just 3 points in his debut. The Lakers losing to the Clippers 108-92. And number 25, Memphis rallying for a 42-38 win. At Houston, Greg.
All right, Bogus. Greg Cosell is with us, executive producer and analyst for NFL Matchup, also doing work with NFL Films, one of our favorite guests.
Yes, Greg, he is.
Good morning. Thanks for being with us. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening today?
Oh, you don't want to know. You don't want to know, Greg.
It's one of those Fridays.
Don't go there, G.
I'm not going to.
You're involved. I'm sure, you know, there's... I'm not sure where to go with this.
Well, you're on the right path. Yeah. Yeah, we're not sure where to go with it either.
Derek Carr last night looked like the old Derek Carr. Do you think he was 100% healthy in the previous game against the Chargers, or was the matchup just better for him last night?
You know, that's always hard to say because we don't know about a player's health. What was obviously different last night was the concerted effort to get Amari Cooper the ball. He had 19 targets. I don't think he had 19 targets in all, you know, this season. So they clearly made a concerted effort to get him the football. And he's such a talented guy, as BJ knows from, you know, studying college football, that, you know, to me it was just a matter of time. But, yeah, I think, look, they threw the ball. He dropped back well over 50 times. Probably the nature of the game dictated that. I don't think any team goes into a game saying they want their quarterback to drop back 55, 56 times. But the game played out that way.
Well, Greg, let's talk about some of these young quarterbacks. And I want to start with a second-year guy in Jared Goff. Of course, he now has Sean McVay as his head coach, offensive guru coming over from Washington. What have you seen in his progression?
It's a good marriage, BJ, because Sean McVay is really good with pass game concepts, understanding how to break down both zone and man coverage with your concepts. And what you try to do, as you know, is you try to present opportunities for your quarterback to throw on time, where he can drop back, hit his back foot. The throw is defined at that point, and you can deliver the football. Now, it's the NFL, so you can't do that all the time, but that's what you're trying to do. That's what Goff is. Goff, to me, is a timing rhythm player. I don't think at this point in his career, he's great as a late in the down pocket quarterback where he has to wait. At his core, he's not a mover, even though he's not immobile. So I think they're doing a good job. I still think he's working through some growing pains. He's not real strong right now when the pocket gets a little noisy and muddy. He's going to have to work on that.
There's a lot of quarterbacks I want to ask you about, yeah. But let's go with the positive first. Both Brian and I loved Deshaun Watson coming out of college. We couldn't understand how teams were passing on him. He has been spectacular now consistently. What have you seen from him that makes you think he can either continue at this pace or not?
Well, you know, it's funny. The numbers make him look spectacular. I think he's very much a work in progress. You know, I think what's happening, and we're going to see this more and more with college football and the quarterbacks that they're putting out, is teams are adapting, and they're getting into all this run game stuff in the backfield with all these backfield actions, all these read elements. It helps define throws for quarterbacks. It helps lead to relatively easy throws by NFL standards. I mean, this past week, you just have to see what the Browns did. They were so poor on defense, so many busts. Watson, actually, if you watch the tape as I did, he did not play really well this week, but there were so many busted assignments that it was too easy. I mean, I don't think he'll have easier throws the rest of his career than he had in the game against the Browns, but he certainly played well. There's poise. There's composure. It's not too big for him, but I think he's a little bit of a work in progress. The numbers just make him seem like he's playing spectacular.
To your point about the quarterbacks that are transitioning out of the college game to the pro game, Brett Hundley is now the starter at Green Bay. How does Mike McCarthy and that offensive staff adjust their signature philosophy to his skill set?
Well, it's funny, BJ. I think you're going to see a lot of what we just talked about. I think, first of all, I think you'll see much more of a base run game. Okay, they really have three backs they can use, and Aaron Jones, who I loved coming out of UTEP.
I'm with you.
They have Montgomery, and they have Jamal Williams, who I thought had a chance coming out of BYU. So I think they'll run the ball with him under center, but I also think they'll do just the kinds of things we talked about. They'll put him in the gun. They'll play to his legs. He's very, very athletic. They'll put in a lot of those run game concepts, and I think they'll also, if they don't truly encourage him to run when he drops back, I don't think they'll be bothered if he doesn't get a feel for what he sees and he takes off, because he's a very athletic kid and he can move the chains running the football.
Gio and Jones with Greg Cosell across the country on CBS Sports Radio. I saw Mitchell Trubisky's first start in person against the Minnesota Vikings. I wasn't all that impressed. Ends up going on the road and is the starting quarterback for a team that ends up beating the Baltimore Ravens. That was pretty impressive there. So far in two starts, what do you like? What do you not like?
Well, it's not a matter of like or dislike. It's how they're playing. If they can stay close in games, which obviously happened last week against Baltimore and for the most part the week prior, they're trying to limit his impact on the game right now. And then, again, we can speculate on the reasons why. There could be many reasons. He certainly doesn't have a ton of weapons. John Fox is a believer in running the football, but right now they're not asking him to do very much at all. So we'll see. You know, obviously every game doesn't play out that way. There may come a game here where he has to, you know, throw it, drop back 35 times, and then we'll get a better feel. But right now they are really limiting him. It's clear they don't want him to be a big factor in their offense at this point in time.
Greg, I heard some of the broadcasters the other night talking about Carson Wentz and a statement that Doug Peterson made, and basically saying the kid had an epiphany. He knew what we were running. Now he knows why we're running it. What have you seen of Wentz and where he's taken his game this season?
BJ, it's funny you say that, because I think that to me, as I watch tape, is the most impressive thing about Carson Wentz. His ability to understand defenses before the snap of the ball and then validate what he sees after the snap, because often the defense will change, particularly on third down. It's remarkable that he's the leading third down passer in the NFL after 22 NFL starts, and much of that comes from the fact that he can recognize, eliminate, and isolate really, really effectively. And that to me says so much, because the great quarterbacks, that's what they do.
Gio and Jones with Greg Cosell. Teddy Bridgewater started practicing for the Minnesota Vikings just the other day, and they hope to have him play at some point. A guy suffered just a massive knee injury. How much do you think that his game will have to change from what we saw a couple years ago to be effective?
Don't know that. You know, none of us do. I think he'll end up being their starting quarterback at some point this season. So what we don't know is his movement. He wasn't a mover, let's say, like Russell Wilson moves, but I think there was an element of mobility to his game, and I almost think there has to be because of his size. He's not a big guy. I don't think he can stand there. I think at his core, he's a pocket player, and he'd like to stand there and deliver, but I think when you're that size, you get late in the down, and then you take hits. And I think that, therefore, he'll move. So I'm anxious to see. You know, Teddy, to me, is not a high-level talent. I think he's got a great feel for the game. I think he can be successful in an offense that has multiple dimensions.
Well, a guy who's been on the move because he has a leaky offensive line is Russell Wilson coming up here to take on the Giants. Any hope he can last the season?
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think he has a great feel for moving. He doesn't take a lot of hits, but of course, as you know, BJ, it doesn't matter. You know, the more hits you take, there is a cumulative effect. So, you know, he's got a great body type. He's almost built like a boxer more than a quarterback. So we'll see. But, I mean, he moves a lot. You know, he misses some things because I think probably because of his size. You live with the fact that he'll leave some throws on the field. That's just the way he plays. But, yeah, their O-line is not very good. They're going to have to run the ball, and they've really been unable to do that.
Yeah. What team has exceeded your expectations from week one till now?
Oh, boy, I hate those questions.
There has to be one. Come on.
That's exceeded my expectations?
Yeah, I mean, well, you're giving a team a compliment. I mean, going into the year and you saw a lot of tape in the preseason, you said, you know, this team might be a 6-10 team, and now you're saying, well, it might be a 10-6 team.
I mean, we talked about Carson Wentz in Philly. It's always hard for me to say I'm surprised, but I guess I'm surprised at the level at which their offense is playing. That's the way I would answer that question, because they're playing really well. Their run game is now working really, really effectively. I'm looking at the teams because I have a schedule up here. I mean, even though they lost last night, I'd have to say the Chiefs' offense to some degree. You know, I don't think any of us saw that coming as far as their ability to score. You know, they lost last night, but they put up over 30 again. They didn't lose because their offense struggled. So really, their offense has had one game in which they struggled a little bit. And other than that, they've been both a sustaining offense and an explosive offense. And I don't think any of us thought they'd be an explosive offense.
Well, Greg, do you think once Andrew Luck comes back, and I'm not sure he comes back this season, but once he does become the starter there again in Indianapolis, do you think there's a market out there now for Jacoby Brissett? Has he availed himself well enough?
BJ, I do, and we've been talking about this in our matchup room here. You know, you follow college football obviously really closely, okay? I love to evaluate quarterbacks. I'm wrong at times just like everybody is, okay? That's not the point. But Jacoby Brissett, I watched him really carefully come out of NC State, and I saw a really talented kid, okay? There were times I thought he looked like Ben Roethlisberger at NC State. And here's a kid who gets drafted in the third round, and most people probably thought he was a fifth or sixth round pick. Now, I'm going to tell you something I strongly believe. He's more talented physically now, okay? I know that's not all what it's all about, but he's more talented physically than either Mitchell Trubisky or Deshaun Watson. So, you know, I guess I'm trying to figure out what the issue is with him, and he has acquitted himself really, really well as a starter in Indianapolis.
This Sunday night game is really intriguing to me because you got the Falcons, whose offense I thought would be better, the Patriots, whose defense I thought would be better. One of them should probably show up in this football game. How do you see this one shaking out on Sunday night?
Yeah, the Patriots have struggled a bit communication-wise. They're still playing a ton of man coverage, and they've struggled with communication. The Falcons have been kind of an enigma to me. It's easy to say it's because Kyle Shanahan's gone, but, you know, they're moving the ball. They're just not scoring as many points. I struggle with that. The Falcons are one of those teams when I watch, I struggle with, because it's not one thing I can point my finger, put my finger on, but I just feel like they're arrhythmic. They're at a rhythm. Last year, boy, they just had that look. Every game, boom, boom, boom. Everything worked off everything. Their run-pass fusion was as good as I've seen in the league in a long time. There's something missing right now.
What's missing from Jay Cutler? Is this the same guy we saw before he decided to go to the booth? And now, I mean, that was a great comeback last week, getting down 17-0 at Atlanta and being able to win that game. I know you give a lot of credit to the defense, but what is it with Jay Cutler? He is just who he is. Am I correct?
At this point, yeah. I mean, at this point, his mechanics are terrible. He throws too many balls falling away. He's never been a true timing anticipation guy. He's always been what I call a see-it, throw-it quarterback. And then every once in a while, because of his arm talent, he makes a throw and you go, wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's just no consistency to his game. And to me, I'm a fundamental mechanics guy, and maybe it's just because of my background and who I've been fortunate to be around in my career.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's never really been good in that area.
Greg, thanks for the time as always. We love talking
appreciate
to you,
man.
Enjoy the games this week.
All right, appreciate it, guys. Thanks so much.
You got it.
Greg Cosell of NFL Matchup and NFL Films, executive producer.
They watch more film than coaches.
Yeah, it's close.
They are
it's definitely close.
Film.
Yeah. He knows what he's talking about,
yes,
that Greg Cosell.
Yes, he does.
We've got Don Crickey joining us, legendary play-by-play man.
Someone that gets me excited.
Yes. I'm good.
I'm telling you.
I'm happy you're
I can't wait
that.
To hear his voice.
Yeah.
One of the most indelible voices in all of sports. Grew up listening to that man.
You
NFL,
too.
College.
Right.
Great voice,
you
Gio.
You used to have him, ask him to say stuff?
Yeah, I'm just going to say something. Just give me just a random sentence.
All right.
Yeah. Is that cool?
It's fine with me. I don't have a ton of questions.
I mean, because you got guys that you get all hopped up for, and this is one that I get hopped up for.
You can have all of it.
I can have all of it.
Yeah.
I can have all of Don Crickey to
myself.
You
can have all of it, yeah.
All of it?
You can have it. Take it.
You hear that, elephant? Just me and you and Crickey.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
You know, I like Truex. I like Martin Truex Jr. I like him. His car's been running pure. And so that's one that I like.
Unlike an unpure car.
That's right. It's been running pure. And Kyle Busch, he needs this one. He's 10th in the standings right now. He needs, watch out for, he's really going to make a push. And I consulted the racing expert in this building, the great Zach Martin, who works here. And he gave me a lot of tips today on this. So Truex and Busch are the two guys I'm giving you. Keep an eye on that at the Hollywood Casino 400. Advance Auto Parts introduces Speed Perks. Spend $100 to get $20 off your next qualified purchase. No cards to carry. No points to keep track of. No nonsense. Where's Andrew Bogish? Get him in here.
Yeah, get him in here.
So I saw him carrying around some nice clothes today.
Yeah.
And we don't generally, Brian sometimes shows up in nice clothes when he has to do TV. But we dress like slobs because we don't do a TV simulcast. So I saw him carrying around some nice clothes today. I just figured he had a wake or a funeral to go to. So I don't when
had to be something
right. Like I don't ask people when they're dressed nice where they're going because it's happened too many times. Be like, oh, you know, somebody died. I'm like, oh, great. I'm glad I asked. But then I find out today, and I don't know why he didn't tell us. I'm a little bit offended by this, that the man is going to be on national television.
Yeah.
The MLB Network came calling to get Andrew Bogish, and put them on the TV.
I'm setting my DVR right now.
So tell us how this came about and what are you doing?
I'm going to be on MLB Now at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Somehow I'm the third baseball analyst next to former player Carlos Pena and longtime GM Dan O'Dowd. The show is hosted by Paul Severino, normally by Brian Kenny. I have zero idea how this happened, which is why I didn't mention it until I tweeted it last night after I knew for sure that it was happening. Yeah, like, it makes no sense
to
me.
That's what I was going to say. Like, no offense to you at all. I don't want you. But if any of us were called for that, I would be surprised.
Right. Now, I have in the past, now I know people that work there. I know folks that work, that's in New Jersey. I know folks that work kind of on the MLB.com site in Chelsea here in New York.
Right.
I've in the past had inquired about jobs there. I have a family friend that works there. So, I mean, it's, I'm not, I guess, a stranger in theory,
mm-hmm.
but I've always asked to work like as Paul Severino, like leading a conversation, not actually having to be a smart baseball
an
person.
An analyst, right.
And they called out of nowhere and said, we're always looking for new blood and we like what you do. And so-and-so
damn,
gave
like
us...
what
gave,
you do.
What is wrong with them?
Yeah, I agree.
I know some people over there, too. I'm going to have to call them.
Well, I mean, I was kind of waiting for the, Eric Burns can do it, or we got an actual second baseball player to come on, or we thought you were Damon Amendolaro or Andrew Catalan or somebody completely different.
See, you never know who's listening. Bogus at the plate.
Bogus at the plate.
Still exists on the internet.
Yep.
No new episodes for over a year
now. Do you think that
now
had something to do with it?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I asked the woman who is a family friend if she had done this, and she said, well, I did pass around your demo reel to people, but I don't know anything specifically about MLB Now.
You send something to them.
The woman that works there is like the head of operations. I said, oh, you should send me your reel. So I sent her my reel over the summer.
So I just Googled
and got
you
nothing.
Bogus at the plate does come up.
Yeah.
There you go.
But I did. I remembered that Bogus at the plate is still in my Twitter bio, and I took it out last night in case new people go there today. and I was wondering too if I should remind them or point out that it no longer exists,
right?
So they don't introduce me as
right
blah 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 of Bogus at the plate.
The hell with the facts. But, let them introduce you as Bogus at the plate.
Well,
maybe they'll revive it.
I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
This is incredible.
This is great.
I mean, it really is. It's a really
good for you, man.
Really
don't
strange.
Don't muck
thing.
It up either, okay?
But it's a great opportunity.
And you don't need all those damn notes.
And it's really too bad that the baseball season's ending right now because if you do a good job, well, I guess they put you on hot stove or something as well.
Well, I mean, yeah. I did think, like, oh, what if this. If they want me to come back, but it's good in the offseason when all the regular folks are
that's
on vacation
true.
Doing
yeah.
nothing, there might be.
Mm-hmm.
But let's just not destroy today first.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I really. I
the rundown,
God,
right?
MLB Now.
Oh, MLB
called.
Now. Okay, I got
100%
it.
Expecting a phone call to be like, never
psych.
Mind.
So you're going to go down to their studios and
see, call
well, they're coming to get me.
They're coming to get you.
They're coming to get me.
See, boy, you big time now. They send cars for your ass. That one, you big time.
Which is another battle.
Mm-hmm.
They offered. I said no at first, and I was like, how am I going to get home at 5 o'clock from Jersey to Long Island? So I said, would you mind actually, can I take you up on the car offer? So they're coming to get me, and they're bringing me back into the city afterwards.
Unpaid, paid appearance.
I don't care. I haven't asked.
Thank you.
They give
it's
me
about
a dollar.
The opportunity.
Exactly.
I'm just curious.
Has not come up, and I'm not going to broach the subject.
I'd say the car counts as pay. That's really... That's
yeah.
I mean,
no,
that's I how I talked myself into asking, because I don't like imposing, and I don't think I deserve a car service. But I was like, well, they can... It is my time. They can pay $40 for an Uber to pick me up.
Is this going to be like... You're going to be on the entire show, or just...
As far as I know, I'm on the entire... We're on the entire hour.
Now, do you feel like out of all the sports, baseball is your most knowledgeable?
Yeah, I mean, from a technical standpoint, yes. The problem is, I mean, those guys are experts.
You going to be nervous?
Of course.
Yeah?
Of course.
Oh, man.
Here's Andrew. I'm praying for everything. Praying for a rain out last night, so there'd be the NLCS game would be this afternoon, and they'd cancel it.
You are not.
Then I saw yesterday Gardenhire and Cora. I'm like, oh, maybe there'll be manager press conferences, and we'll lose like 20 minutes
you
of the show.
Not.
Yeah, that's how it works.
Dude, don't be a Rodney Hood.
You going to keep the beard?
Yeah, I'm not shaving the beard. I'm too fat in the face.
I was wondering why the hair was looking all
coiffed
proper. What that too. Nice cowlick.
Wow, that's pretty cool, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's very cool. What's 4
great.
O'clock Eastern?
4 o'clock Eastern.
I got it recorded. I'm going to critique your ass.
Please, can't wait.
Gio and Jones listeners, 4 o'clock Eastern time, MLB Network. Andrew Bogus. Check
one of
him
our
out.
Own.
That's right.
Gio and Jones with Don Criqui next on CBS Sports Radio.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, isn't it refreshing?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.